You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, as per usual, the Māori seats this election have proved most interesting, with star candidates, a royal endorsement, and the possibility a well-loved MP could be out of Parliament. So, to review the race for the Māori seats and Māori politics this election, earlier I spoke to the Hui producer Annabel Lee, and I began by asking what she has thought of the campaign.
It's been the most bizarre campaign that I can remember, with, you know, who would have thought 6 to 8 weeks ago that we would be where we are now. We've seen the departure of one of our most senior and accomplished Māori politicians, with the downfall of Matidi Atude. We have seen the rise of the Ardern effect, and what looked to be a very straightforward election, with National basically cakewalking back to the Treasury benches, has now turned into a real competition. So I think, certainly from a journalist's perspective, it's been the most exciting campaign we've seen in quite some time.
Out of all the Māori candidates, who do you think's impressed the most?
Who's impressed the most? That's a good question. Marama Davidson, I think, is someone who is showing some exceptional skills as both an orator, simple messaging, being seen outside in the community. She's, I think, you know, they've had a pretty tumultuous run, the Greens, this election, and I think she's handled it with dignity and grace. She's been very staunch and loyal to Matidi and managed to remain focused on the important issues in her campaign. So I think for me, she would probably be the MVP. You know, then you've got old Wiley Winston, who, you know, is, you know, just that grumpy uncle that everyone has, and yet despite some of his quirky characteristics, he manages to keep us engaged and to control the narrative around him. You know, the issue around his super could have been an absolute disaster, but he manages to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. You know, if you compare the way the media pursued Matidi over her issue with Wins as opposed to Winston's, you have to say he's pretty masterful in being able to turn narratives around to his own benefit.
Now, turning to the Māori seats themselves, do you think it's going to be quite close come polling day, or do Labour have a pretty strong hold in most of these seats?
I think places like Te Tai Hauwauru will come right down to the wire. It's interesting because Māori television have polled the Māori seats, and it shows that there's no change, except that Te Tai Hauwauru might go from Labour back to the Māori Party. But what people should be aware of is last time Māori television polled the Māori seats in 2014, it actually showed that the Māori Party were going to win that seat with a candidate called Chris McKenzie, who was mentored by Tariana Tudia and was an exceptionally good candidate. And on the day, he ended up missing out to Adrian Dudafe. So I think that, you know, although it shows that Howie Tamaki is ahead at the moment, it's not a given, and I think certainly that one will be up for grabs on the day. It'll come down to voter turnout, I imagine. And I think another seat, you know, another couple of seats that have been interesting to watch, obviously, was Te Tai Tokero, where Horne missed out by the slimmest of margins last time, just 700 votes in it. You know, when he did the deal with the Māori Party, it looked like a fait accompli that that the seat would go back to him. But with the rise of Calvin to deputy leader of the Labour Party, and of course the Jacinda effect, I think the opportunity to potentially vote in the Deputy Prime Minister and have them represent their electorate has proved, you know, very enticing to the voters of Te Tai Tokero. And so we see Calvin ahead there. And then, of course, Te Ururoa, I think Tamaki has managed to really close up the gap there. And Te Ururoa has been able to effectively use the Jacinda Ardern effect to run a a 2MP campaign in Wairiki too. So it's been a really interesting election in the Māori electorate.
Do you think, what do you make of Hone's two-for-one deal kind of thing?
Well, I think it's a very smart line to be running. And, of course, why wouldn't you want 2 MPs for one in Te Tai Tokiro? It makes perfect sense. Mm. And you would think that, obviously, the more MPs, the better. But I think equally that Calvin's running an effective opposition line to that, which is quality, not quantity. And certainly, if the polls are to be believed, it looks like Calvin's going to trump Honeria. And, you know, in some ways that's a shame, because I think with the loss of both Metiria and Hone, who are voices for Te Pani me Te Rawakore, we've lost something very important in Parliament in terms of pricking the nation's conscience, reminding people of some of the real hardship and struggles that our people face, both in the urban centres and in the provinces. So it will be, you know, it's a shame to see those two go one term after another.
Now, what about the Māori King endorsing Rahui Papa? Do you think that's backfired?
No, I don't. I think that it's a big call to endorse a candidate when you're someone of the mana and prestige and standing and importance as the King. You know, you're taking a gamble, and it would appear that in this particular situation it's a gamble that hasn't paid off. It would be, you know, I feel aroha for Rahui, because, you know, he's an exceptionally skilled Māori politician, as in, you know, marae politics, iwi politics, and to be taking on such a formidable opponent as Nanaia, who, you know, who is someone who managed to hang on to her seat during, despite the controversy of the foreshore and seabed. And let's remember, you know, Waikato, that seat had more, had a whole lot of seabed to lose. You've got Pari Hauraki on one side and Pari Waikato on the other, and she managed to not only retain her seat, but to then lead Labour's Māori caucus back to victory last year, where we saw them pull back 6 of the 7 Māori seats. No mean feat. So anyone who was willing to take on Nanaia, you know, is to be admired, because she's an incredible politician. And as we've seen, you know, she is unshakable, and it doesn't look like she'll be going anywhere fast. So, it's a testament really to her abilities, I think, rather than a criticism of the King.
The situation with Marama Fox is also quite interesting, because if she does not win her seat and the Māori Party vote doesn't hold up, she could be out of Parliament. So how big a loss would that be?
Well, you know, she's someone who, I tell you what, it'll be a huge loss to the Māori Party, because Marama has been an absolute breath of fresh air, as greatly admired as Tariana and Pete and Te Ururua are. They are seen somewhat as the old guard, whereas Marama brought in a fresh new vibrancy. She is incredibly engaging. She's accessible to the media. She's someone that, you know, if you have a query, you can drop her a text, she'll come straight back to you, which is something that had been largely missing from the Māori Party before. They ran a pretty closed shop. So I think in terms of her ability to engage with the media and her ability to charm and fill up a room and bust out a waiata, she will be a huge loss for the Māori Party. And it's one of those sort of funny ironies of MMP. In fact, the better the Māori Party does in terms of electorate vote, the worse off Marama is. So, you know, the rise of Haui Tamati more than likely spells the downfall of Marama Fox. So it's just one of those quirks of our voting system.
And just finally, overall, how do you think the Māori media has done in covering this election? Some of the coverage I've seen has been some of the best, I have to say.
You know, it's challenging, because, for one, polling the Māori seats can be incredibly difficult, because it takes a long time to do, it's expensive, it's much harder finding Māori with landlines on the Māori roll than it is Pākehās on the general roll. The electorates are so huge, it's a lot of ground to cover. So I think, you know, everybody this year has had their own style of covering the Māori seat. So I think really the beneficiaries of that are Māori voters and the viewing public, who have been really treated to a wide range of coverage of those Māori seats, and long may it continue, I say.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.